All right. So we are today, we are concluding our series on finances entitled All About the Benjamins. Now, I did a little addition to the title, so if you're taking notes today, I titled it All About the Benjamins. I put a little slash, and I put the skinny on tithing. Pastor Joe wants to bring you the 411, the DL, what's on the down low. I need to get the information to you so that you can be blessed by God. I want to talk to you about tithing. Now, I just have to say right up here at top before I go anywhere else, as a pastor, as a preacher, as somebody who talks about the Word of God and gets to share it, the privilege of sharing it with a bunch of people, I personally have never been comfortable talking about money, okay? Especially as a pastor. The pastor starts talking about money, it's like, all right, what does this guy want? He just wants to get into my pocketbook. I mean, who is this guy anyways? Who does he think he is telling me about how I should run my life? And so I took some time today and I was reminiscing about how much I've talked about money in my 3 years now with Pastor Luke having taken over shift. I have never taught a single sermon on money in 3 years, not in shift, not in youth, not in Bible college, not anywhere. I don't want to talk about money. You see why? Do you see why? This is why I don't want to talk about money. All right, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. I think everybody in the house would agree with me today that, you know what, if God took the time to write something down in the scripture, then it's got to be important, right? Okay, let me get a showing of hands since, let me just get a showing of hands, all right, today. How many of you would agree that if God took the time to write about something in the Bible, a subject in the Bible more than once, then that's got to be pretty important, okay? And we actually, I think we've already said this, but the Bible, over 2,000 times, talks about money and talks about material possession. Can you believe that? Over 2,000 times. You'll find 2,000 different times the Bible talk about money and talk about material possession. Now, that's more than the Bible talks about prayer, if you can believe that or not. That's more than the Bible talks about faith. Hey, that's more than the Bible talks about love. All right, this is why I don't like talking about money. All right. Jesus, if you look at the life of Jesus and you go through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus actually talks more about money and material possession than he even does heaven and hell combined. And so obviously, it's God has placed some importance on it. And for Pastor Joe, if I'm going to be a good representative of what the Bible has to say, then at some point in time, I'm going to have to address the issue. Amen. All right, I'm going to get down on my knees, and I'm going to pray. And so if you guys would bow your heads with me, let's go before the Lord, and let's invite him to come and speak to our hearts. Father, we come before you today, and we thank you for, Lord, your great love. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are so good. Lord, that you are faithful. And Lord, Lord, we just thank you for all those different things, Lord, that we took four songs to sing about, Father God, and there's so much more. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to come into your house, Lord, and hear your word, Father God, the privilege to come into your house, enjoy your presence, have your Holy Spirit touch us. And Holy Spirit, we want to say this, Lord, that you are welcome in this house. Lord, you're welcome into our hearts, into our lives, into our minds to do as you see fit. Lord, bring us the word of God. Help us to get a hold of it, Lord. By your grace, help us to put it to practice, Lord, so that we can be blessed in every area of our lives. And Lord, we'll give you all of the praise, all of the glory, all of the honor today. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody in agreement with that said, amen. If you would, for a moment, give your attention to the overhead screen.
I give to God by enjoying what he has given me, okay? I mean, do you really think he expects something back? Now, I know there's a lot of people at church that would not understand this line of reasoning. That's why, just to make things simple and not to cause any controversy, I like to carry what I call the little empty envelope, all right? You see, when the plate gets passed, I bloop, put it in there like that. The deacon's counting the money. They only know me as the crazy empty envelope guy, but the people sitting around me, clueless. I win, they win, God wins. No one gets hurt because no one knows.
God knows.
Huh?
I only agreed to make this video if they promise not to tell you who I am. I mean, it's really none of your business. And it's also none of your business how much I give. I'm not going to brag about it, okay? I mean, yeah, it's cool. I just got married and I have a kid, okay? And sure, you know, we get around. We're doing okay. But look, who I am and what I give is, it's between God and I, okay? I mean, the sacrifices I make are between me and God, and my reward is in heaven. So look, don't try to figure out who I am or what I give, because honestly,
it's none of your business.
I tithe. Okay, that's a lie. I don't tithe. I want to tithe. That's a lie, too. I don't even think about it. But seriously, you think God's up there, like, with a big old checklist going, hey, you tithe, you don't tithe? I don't buy that at all. Okay, I kind of buy that. Because what do you say? Give to God what is God's and give to Caesar what is Caesar's? I don't even know any Caesars. That's a lie. I know four Caesars, even the little one.
Let me ask you a question, huh? How's your mutual fund? Hey, for that matter, how's all your funds? Has the fund left your funds, huh? Has your do-re-mi taken a W-A-L-K, huh? What if I told you that I knew about an investment you could make that the return would be mind-boggling? And it's promised, it's guaranteed. I know what you're saying, there's no guarantees. This one's guaranteed, okay? Malachi 3:10, that's what it says in the Old Testament. It says, test me, give to God, and he will give you back. It goes like this, I give this, he gives this. I give this, he gives this. I give this, right up there. He keeps giving. I can't outgive God. How crazy is that? Do I love him? Sure, whatever. I'm just saying, if you give, he gives back. Crazy, isn't it? It works, though. How do you think I afforded that house in Tahiti? Oh, what time is it? It's tithing time.
I tithe. But just not like in the form of a 10% check, per se. Let me tell you what I mean. When I go to church on a Sunday morning, they're selling donuts, I buy some. Boom, that's a tithe. When my whole Sunday school class wants donuts, and I, out of the goodness of my heart, buy a whole bunch for the Sunday school class, boom, that's another tithe. But it's not about me spending money. It's about the smile on people's faces. That, my friends, is tithe enough for me. Case in point, the church was having date nights where we could take our spouse out for an evening, and they were charging $25 for childcare. Boom, shakalaka, tithe. I'll tell you what the biggest tithe was. When I spent over $100 on our meal, and my wife was grinning ear to ear, that, my friend's a tithe.
I would like to give. I would, okay? But everything right now is just crazy. I mean, just crazy, you know? I mean, not normal crazy, really crazy, you know? And if after I paid my bills and took care of the things that I need and want, then I would consider giving something, but not now's crazy. We're going to give later. We've already talked about it. I mean, down the road, we'll be crazy givers, but right now, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I have money. That's a fact. But you know what? It's a heart thing between me and the Lord and the pastor, because he needs to know what I'm giving now that we have this little building campaign going on, if you know what I'm saying. And pastor, I'd give a little bit more. I'd give a little something if you'd have that music minister sing a couple more hymns now and then, huh? Hey, watch this. Watch this. Is that a Benjamin? I think it is. Benji likes hymns. Come on. You want it? Come on, pastor. Do what I say, huh?
Oh, in my life, Lord, be glorified in me. I put money in the plate. Wait, wait, wait. Look what I have here. I hope it doesn't interfere. That everyone can hear how I give with cheer, that everyone could be like me.
Jazz hands.
All right, I thought that was kind of funny. And let me just say this. That's not to mock anybody, all right? That's not to say, you know, I came in here and I personally decided, you know what? I just don't believe that to be anybody in Shift. Amen. And so, but you know what? If it is, this is our prayer. Here's the deal. Is that every one of us have obstacles concerning the Word of God, objections concerning the Word of God that we have to overcome. Whether it has to do with money, whether it has to do with, you know, Billy Graham. How many of you guys have ever heard of Billy Graham? Billy Graham, at one point in time in his life, out in his free time, reading his Bible, and he threw his Bible to the side and said, God, I just can't believe that. How would you allow that to happen? Eventually he had to just come to a place where, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust that your word is true. I'm going to trust that you're righteous. I'm going to trust that you know what you're doing. And not only do you know what you're doing, but you know what you're doing with my life. That was a good place to say amen. All right. So, and so that was just a kind of a funny way, break up the ice. We're talking about tithing, and it's going to be good, all right? So, Pastor Joe, I want to give to you today the skinny on tithing, all right? So, jumping right into our point today, point number one, the skinny on tithing is that tithing equals 10%. Going really deep today, really deep, really complicated, I know, okay? But tithe, when you hear somebody talk about tithe, when you hear somebody talk about tithing, all right, and that, when that, you know, that famous part of the service comes along, and somebody and the pastor or the host says, you know what, it's time to receive this evening's tithes and offerings. Now you know what they're talking about. They're talking about 10% of your income, 10% of my income. Okay, that's what tithing means. Now I want to show it to you in the Word of God because I don't want you to just take Pastor Joe's word for it. Okay, so if you guys will go with me to the book of Genesis real fast. The book of Genesis, and we're gonna come back and forth, you know, we go back and forth with this story throughout the night. But tithe, it equals 10%. If you look up the word tithe in the Greek and the Hebrew, you'll find it's 10%, all right? Now, as you turn to Genesis chapter 14, let me give you a little bit of a background of the story that's taking place right here before we read it. God shows up to a man by the name of Abraham one day. He says, Abraham, I want to make you a great nation, but you're going to have to leave behind your country, your family, and you're going to have to come out to a land that I've called you. And by doing so, I'm going to make your descendants to number like the stars in the heavens. So Abraham says, all right, God, that sounds like a pretty cool promise. I'm going to go ahead and do what you said. So Abraham gets his wife, gets his servants, gets his belongings. In fact, his nephew by the name of Lot goes with him. He leaves his country. Him and Lot travel now to the place where God's called them, and they find themselves in a place called Canaan. Right now, the Bible says that both Abraham and Lot were wealthy. Okay, they were rich guys. They had a ton of possession. In fact, they had so much that the land was not able to support both of them together. There's not enough food. There's not enough water for all the servants, for all the family members, for all the livestock. And so one day, the servants of Abraham and the servants of Lot get into a dispute, and they're fighting, you know, who gets what and where everything's going to go. Abraham finds out about it, goes to Lot and says, Lot, okay, look, check this out. You and I were family. I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't say it. All right. You and I are family. We're blood. I don't want to fight with you. I don't want there to be strife between you and I, and I don't want our servants to fight. So why don't we come to an agreement? You and I, let's separate. And whichever way you go, I'll go the other way. If you want to go east, I'll go west. If you want to go west, I'll go east. North, south, whatever, I'll stay here, whatever you want. But you choose, you go where you need to go, and then I'll go where I need to go so that the land can support us. So the Bible says, Lot takes a long look at the hills of Jordan. Takes him and his belongings, and he goes to a place, the hills of Jordan, which were right next to a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. All right. So Lot goes to Jordan. Abraham stays there in Canaan, and while all this is going on, a little bit more background, there were four kings that decided they wanted to make war with Sodom and Gomorrah. So the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah team up with three other kings, okay? So you've got five kings on one side, four kings on the other. The four kings who wanted to make war come over, and they win the victory. They take all the possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah, along with and with that go Lot and his whole family and all of his possessions. Abraham finds out about it and gets together his 300 servants, arms them, and goes after these kings. Now, 300 servants. We're not talking about trained soldiers. We're talking about people who wash your feet and your hands, have the dishes clean. He's going to go make war with some kings with these servants. All right. So you know God had to be involved. All right. Anyways. Abraham takes his servants, he goes, makes war, he wins the battle, brings Lot back along with all of his possessions and the possession that the king of Sodom and Gomorrah lost, okay? Now we read in Genesis 14, verse number 18, Abraham is now on his way back from this battle, and it says this, verse number 18, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. Now watch this next phrase. And he, Abraham, gave him, King Melchizedek, a tithe of all. And Abraham gave King Melchizedek a tithe. Somebody help me. He gave him a what? A tithe of all. All right, now go with me to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, same story, but now in the New Testament, years later, hundreds and hundreds of years later, the writer of Hebrews recounts this story, but gives this story a little bit more detail for you and I. All right, Hebrews chapter 7, verses starting with verse number 1. Hebrews 7, verse number 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, or king of peace, in other words, priest of the Most High God, who met Abram returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave, somebody help with the next two words, a tenth of all. All right, so the Bible just now went into detail about what a tithe was. A tithe is 10%. Now you know, not just from Pastor Joe's word or from a preacher's word, but you see it now in the Bible. God has asked you and I to be faithful. God has asked you and I to be committed to bringing and to giving 10% of our income to our home church. That's what God has asked of you and I. That is one of his requirements. That is one of his commands. We'll look at it later. God has asked you and I to bring 10% of our income into the house of God. Okay? Now, let's do a little practical calculation here, if you will. All right? If you make $20,000 a year, you are blessed. Amen. Okay? God expects you over the course of that year to bring in 10%, which would be $2,000. Okay, you make 20% annually over the course of that year. God is looking for you to bring in $2,000. All right, let's do another one. All right, if you make $50,000 a year, you are blessed. Amen. Okay, if you make $50,000 a year, God is looking for you to bring into your home church, the house of God, the storehouse, 10%. That means $5,000. Right? Okay. Let's do one more. If you make $100,000 a year, can I get an amen? Why not? What, God wants you blessed. Is six figures too big for God? No, that's right. Listen, where you're at today is not where you'll be at tomorrow. With God, if you stay with God and you obey his commands, you'll find yourself only increasing and being blessed over the course of your life. So six figures, why not? Okay, now somebody help me. If you make That's right. Amen, sister. If you make $100,000 a year, what is 10% of $100,000? $10,000. That's right. $10,000. God expects you and I over the course of that year. Now, let me help everybody today, give you a little practical help. If you make, let's go back to the $20,000. All right. If you make $20,000 a year, you've got to bring in $2,000 over the course of that year. My suggestion is that you give 10% every time you get a paycheck. Okay, don't wait till the end of the year to try and save it up, because you're not going to save it up. As good as Pastor Luke's teaching was last week, and it was, and you and I would do well to adhere to it. All right, the reality is that things are going to come up. You're going to find a reason, an excuse why you're going to spend it. You practice now being disciplined, and then later on in life when you're, you know, putting that $2,000 in some, you know, interest-increasing bank account or you're investing and you got it all together, okay, then you can do different things. But ultimately, God is expecting you to bring in 10%. Now, I have to say this, just so everybody is clear today. God is looking for 10% of all your increase. Of the first fruits of your increase, the Bible says. That means that if you're going to calculate 10%, you got to do so by the gross, not the net. Thank you for those two amens. I quit after this, babe. I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. All right. God expects you. God wants me, Pastor Joe. God wants Pastor Luke. God wants Pastor Jim. All right. We're not excluded from this. The church staff is not excluded from this. We all give our tithe. We all give it faithfully. And you know what? We do so off of our gross. All right? Just because the government takes that money before you ever see it does not mean that you don't earn it. Isn't that right? Because if you only earn what your net was, then the government's still going to come in and they're still going to take some, and then you're just going to, you see what I'm saying? Just because the government takes it before you ever see it does not mean that you don't earn it. God expects you to still bring in your 10%. Now, don't be mad at God, All right? The government's the one that can't get their act together. They look, a Democrat, Republican, you name it, they don't know how to live on a budget. And so what happens? Our taxes are all over the place, all right? Be mad at the government. Make an educated vote. I'm going to leave it right there. Okay? Amen. Okay? God, at least God's been faithful since Genesis till now. 10% never changed. Isn't that good? All right? God, listen, if you really want to be blessed, you'll take 10% and you'll do it off of your tithe. Now let's take a look at this in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 3, if you will. Proverbs chapter 3. And we'll read verses number 9 and 10. Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses number 9 and 10. Say this. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the, somebody help me, with the first fruits of, somebody help me again, all your increase. What does the word all mean? All. All right. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. God is looking for tithing off the gross. Now, I noticed something else in this simple verse, and this is what brings us now to point number two. Point number two is this, giving you the skinny on tithing. Point number two is this, tithing is a lifelong commitment. There is no such thing today as I tithe once and I never have to do it again. All right? I gave my tithe. I've been there. I've done that. No, tithing is a lifelong commitment. Hello, somebody. All right, I know that, all right, Pastor Joe, that's really simple, that's really, but you know what? We have to be told. It has to be made clear, because you'd be surprised as to how many people are under the impression that I gave my tithe. Well, when did you give your tithe? 10 years ago. I already did that. No, tithing is a lifelong commitment. Okay, look at what it says again. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of your increase. Now, how many of you want to continue to increase over the course of your life? All right, you want that paycheck to keep on being deposited into your bank account. You want to keep on picking it up from your work inbox or your mailbox, wherever it is. As long as you continue to increase, God is looking for you to tithe, okay? 10%. It's a lifelong commitment, a lifelong journey. Easy point. All right, point number three today, the skinny on tithe. Number three today is tithing is a commandment from God. Tithing is not a man-made practice. It's not a church orchestrated, the church came up with the idea of tithing. No, tithing is all throughout the Word of God, Old Testament and New. If I could just say it to you like this too, pre-law, in the law, and post-law, okay? Nowadays, you bring up tithing with Christians and it's all about, well, that was in the law. The law's been done away with, and that was in the Old Testament. I don't have to do that. I'm under grace. Grace is going to teach me how to give now. No. Tithing has been all throughout the Word of God, and God is still looking for you and I to tithe today. Now, I just want to give you a couple little fun statistics. In the law, under the law, the children of Israel actually gave 23%. Not 10%. 23%. And the reason for that was because God was their government. So he not only took a tithe for the house of God, but he had to take a tithe also for everything else, okay? Then every 3 years, they'd give a third tithe, which equals 23%. You guys follow that? Okay? Thank God we're not under the law. Now, here's the truth, though. How many times have you ever seen us get it over into the New Testament and the New Testament decrease the standard that was in the law? Let me give you an example of what I mean. In the Old Testament, we have the law of Moses, and the law of Moses says, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, right? In order to commit adultery, you have to actually jump in bed with somebody else's wife or husband, depending, right? Okay? Under the new covenant, Jesus says, if you even look at a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery. Okay, which one has a higher standard? The New Testament, the New Covenant. All right, there's a bunch of examples of that. Okay, and so for us to just say, well, that's under the law, and therefore I don't have to do that anymore, that's really ignorant, and that's if you just want to call it what it is, that's false doctrine. Okay, that's not correct teaching, and that will lead you astray. Okay, but point number three today is that tithing is a commandment from God. Now let's go back to Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis and look at chapter number 14. one more time. Genesis chapter 14. And before we read it, let me say this to you, that again, here in Abraham's life, this is before the law took place, okay? The law actually didn't take place until Moses came along after, okay, Abraham had Isaac, Isaac had Jacob, Jacob had Joseph. Somebody help me, right? Okay, Joseph was exalted, remember, after he was sold into slavery by his brothers to second in command over Egypt, okay? Then he lived out his whole life. He had two sons, and then he died. And during that time, it was prophesied that the children of Israel would go into captivity to the Egyptians for 400 years. Okay? So the children of Israel now go into captivity 400 years. Moses comes along, delivers them, takes them out into the desert. They meet up with God, and that's when they got the commandments. Are you guys following me? You see how far before the law, tithing was in effect? Tithing was being practiced? Okay? And then all of a sudden now, Jesus Christ comes along. The Bible says that there were some things in the law that were done away with. But Jesus Christ comes along and establishes a new covenant. Now, this new covenant that God made between us and him through Jesus Christ, this new covenant, the New Testament, likens itself to the story of Abraham, refers to, compares itself with the life of Abraham. Now, let me explain what I mean for a moment. I'm sure everybody here, have you guys heard that technically you and I are sons and daughters of Abraham? You've heard that? Everybody heard that song? Father Abraham and many sons have Father Abraham, and I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right foot, left foot. I don't know how it goes, all right? Okay. Now, the reason for that, this is what the Bible says in the New Testament. If you and I are of the faith of Abraham, then we are his children and heirs to the promise of salvation through Jesus Christ. Okay, let me say that again. That's kind of a lot to handle. If you and I are of the faith, if we live by the faith of Abraham, then you and I are his children and we are heirs to the promise of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. Now, somebody help me today. Because what was the faith of Abraham? What did he accomplish by faith? Does anybody know? Can anybody help me with just a little bit of his story? Okay, let me help you. All right. Okay, Abraham, somebody might say today, Abraham believed God. Very good. The Bible says in the New Testament, Abraham believed God. All right, so if we are of his faith, if we believe God too, then we're his children and we're heirs to the promise. What else did Abraham do? All right, Pastor Joe. Abraham, remember he was like 100 years old, him and his wife, and they couldn't have a baby, and then God said they were going to have a baby, and they had a baby, and his name was Isaac. Isn't that cool? Yeah, so he believed God, and as a result, he had a baby. All right, what else? He had Isaac. All right, Pastor Joe, I know, we didn't even talk about this today. But now we're talking about it because I know. All right? But after they had Isaac, God told Abraham, take Isaac now and go sacrifice him on an altar. Abraham obeyed, took that little boy, some say teenage boy, all the way to an altar, tied him up, was about to light the fire and stab him, and then an angel appeared and said, "Don't wait! Now I know that you fear God. Don't put your son to death. God is El Shaddai. He will provide, and there is a lamb." So we see the faith of Abraham leading him in such a way that he feared God. Are we not also to fear God as Christians? Right? We're talking about the faith of Abraham. But then I found something recently that I've not heard much talked about, and that is this simple story where Abraham gives a tithe. Okay? Now, I told you the story already. Let's read it again, beginning with verse number 18, except we're going to go a little bit farther this time. Okay, starting with verse number 18, Genesis 14, verse number 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands." And Abraham gave him a tithe of all. Verse number 21. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself." Okay, he's gone, he's rescued his nephew, and he's gotten great possession from the battle, including some of the possession that the king of Sodom had lost. You guys following? Okay? No? Okay. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. Except only what the young men have eaten and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eskol, and that name, let me take their portion. Chapter 15, verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. I don't know if you realize what just took place in this story, but we see Abraham be blessed by King Melchizedek, who is the priest of God, and give him a tithe. We immediately see him turn around and reject taking on the King Sodom's possessions, which he rightfully won. Why did he do that? Why do you suppose that Abraham did that? Come on, think with me for a moment. Why did Abraham do that? Was the gold and the silver any different from anybody? I mean, the kings that he went and he raided, were they not also evil too? Right? But and yet he refuses to, no, he says, listen, all the stuff that I got back, if any of it's yours, you take it. Lest you should say that you made Abraham rich. Let me explain to you what he did. Abraham entered into a transaction with God through Melchizedek, through the blessing and through the tithe, by which he intermingled his life with God. Yes? No? Maybe so. Okay. All right. Let me try this side. All right. Abraham intermingled his life. He entered into a transaction with God through a blessing and through tithe. And then he turned around and he rejected entering into a transaction by which he would intermingle his life with the king of Sodom. So in other words, what God is asking you to do through tithe, is that not the same as you intermingling your life with God? Come on now, because when you go to work, what are you doing? You're working, you're spending your time, you're spending your energy, you're spending your effort. How about this one? You're spending your life to earn that money. All that money is basically the coinage of what you've accomplished, right? The coinage of the day brought to you in what you've done. And by you giving that to God, what you're saying is, God, I'm intermingling my life with yours. I'm here to give to you. I'm here to trust you. I'm here to support the spreading of the gospel. I am intermingling my life with yours. Okay? And then Abraham, what does Abraham do? Abraham turns around and says, I'm not gonna take your possessions though, because I'm not gonna intermingle my life with yours. Now you guys know how wicked Sodom and Gomorrah was. The Bible says it was wicked, it was exceedingly sinful. We're talking about sin in the streets. All right, you want a little picture? The Bible says Lot eventually moved into a place in Gomorrah. He had a guest over, and while the guest was over, a number of men showed up at the door. Hey, send your guest out so we could have our way with him. You fill in what that means, okay? Wicked, we're talking evil. He wouldn't enter into a transaction, in other words, with the world. What do you think you and I say to God when we say, I'm not going to give my tithe? If giving our tithe to God, remember, this is all coming from, hey, if we're of the faith of Abraham, okay, then we're his children and heirs to the promise. Now, I'm not saying you're not gonna go to heaven if you don't tithe, okay? I've not found that, all right? I don't want to be judged for not tithing. But we are supposed to live by the faith of Abraham, are we not? In the New Testament, we, by giving, by following God's commandment concerning tithe, are showing that, God, I'm here to intermingle my life with yours. You know, as Christians, unfortunately today, the word obedience has become a dirty word. And the word obedience to God, you know, we live in America, we got all these freedoms, we just want to be free, I got the freedom of speech. One time I asked the youth, can you guys name some other freedoms? I have the freedom to have a gun, Pastor Joe. The freedom to bear arms, all right. I'm gonna keep my eye on you, all right? All right, We're all into, you can't tell me what to do. You know, when I turn 18, I'm an adult. I'm free. When I turn 21, I can do whatever I want. This is our society. This is our culture. And so we enter into this Christian world where we want Jesus to wash away our sin and forgive us, but then we don't want to really make him Lord of our life. And really the sin and the stuff of our life, it came, all the trouble we've entered into in our life came from us doing things our own way. All right? There's scripture on that too. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, yet God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Okay? And so God asks us to tithe, and then we say, I don't want to do that. And what we're really saying is, God, I'm unwilling to trust you. God, I'm unwilling to intermingle my life. I'm unwilling to show to you that, you know what, you're Lord of my life and that I'm living in a constant state of surrender. Okay? And yet, now here's the deal. Because if you're not going to trust God with your finances, you're going to have to trust something. Whether that be yourself, whether that be an investment, whether that be, I don't know, somebody's 10-step plan on how to be successful. So what you're saying is, God, I'm more willing to intermingle my life with this thing over you. That's not what God has for you and I today. Hey, listen, today, kings and kingdoms will fail. Investments, plans, economies, presidents, they will all fail. They will all come crumbling down. At some point in time, hey, listen, how many people lost their 401k, their 403b, whatever? I mean, why? But you and I need to put our trust in the God who doesn't fail, in the God who's faithful, in the God who watches over our lives, in the God who promises to meet every last one of our needs, from the smallest to the greatest. I don't know what I have to do to get a witness in the house. We serve a good God, and he is worthy. Listen, God, hey, listen, God, if it weren't for you, I'd be on my way to hell. If you want to take 100%, you take 100%, because, God, you're worthy of my obedience. You're worthy of my possessions. All right? So, number three today, tithing is a commandment from God. And if you and I are going to follow the faith of Abraham, then we need to come to a place where we intermingle our lives. You know, for me, I see this as a picture very much. You know, how many of us have ever thought, man, Adam and Eve messed it up. If it weren't for them, if I were there, I wouldn't eat the fruit. All right? And yet you see this same kind of test come to man over and over throughout the Word of God. Was this not also the same kind of test given to Abraham? All right, Adam and Eve, are you gonna? It's the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, right? Are you gonna trust God, or are you gonna take knowledge into your own hands, do with it how you see fit? Abraham, are you gonna trust God, or are you gonna take finances into your own hands? All right, so is this not a test also for us, okay? Whether or not we're going to trust God or we're going to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I think it is. And you and I today, we can choose the right thing. Finally, number four today, the skinny on tithing is this: God's blessing awaits those who faithfully tithe. God's blessing awaits those who faithfully tithe. Hebrews chapter 7. Go back there with me. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 7. Same story in the New Testament now, but I love this verse. Short, simple, to the point, says this: Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Who got blessed? Who? Okay, very good. That's not what I meant, though. That's my fault. Okay, let me do it this way. Who got blessed, Melchizedek or Abraham? Abraham. Listen, God don't need your money. God doesn't need my money, okay? So without contradiction, listen, he's the greater. We are the lesser, and we will be blessed. God will bless you and me. God will see to it that your needs are met. God will see to it that you increase. You know my name, Joseph, it means one who will continually increase. I've always thought, thank God I got that. Not financially only, that's not what I'm thinking, okay? So just, okay, all right? But it means one to whom God will add unto, will continue. You know, that's not just a promise for me. That's a promise for you, because you, the lesser, will be blessed by the greater God when you're faithful like Abraham was. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10 through 12. Let me just read these to you off the overhead, all right? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, the home church, the local church, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Only place in the Bible God gives you permission to test him. Okay? Actually, the devil came to Jesus one day and said, hey, you should throw yourself off this building because God said he would send angels to catch you. You know what Jesus' response was? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Yet right here, he gives you permission to do so, to test God. Okay? And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for you, such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Verse number 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Verse number 12. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. That's God's promise to you if you'll be faithful. All right? And the last verse I want to read to you is out of Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19. This is probably a familiar one for everybody. It says, And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Make no mistake, this verse is in the context of the Philippian church giving to meet Paul's needs and the other churches that were around them. Then that's where this verse is makes this statement. And my God, hey, listen, you've done well. Congratulations, Paul says. You've been faithful. You've given your gift. Here's God's promise that he'll meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Right now, listen, today, we give because we love God. We give out of obedience. All right? We don't give because we want, like the guy on the, you give this guy, give this. You give this guy, he just does that so well. I just see stacks of money, you know, in his mind, okay? That's not why we give. But God does say, try me now in this, and he will see to it that your life is blessed, all right? Pastor Joe has not made all the wisest financial decisions. Just talk to my wife. Don't tell them any specifics. Thank you very much. Okay? But you know what? One thing before God, honestly, one thing that I have not failed in is to be faithful to my tithes and offerings. Before I ever considered becoming pastor, when I was a teenage boy at my first job, cutting down Christmas trees for people, sap all over my arms, I was faithful to my tithe. You know what? God has only blessed my life. Has there been financial difficulties? Sure. But as my name is, I've only found myself blessed, only increased. My wife and I bought our first home in 2009, the year after the economy fell. All right? God will be faithful to you. Listen, you don't own your own home today? God wants to give you a home. You don't own your car yet? God wants to give you a car, a nice car. It might not be the BMW at first. All right? Don't despise small beginnings. Drive the hoopty. It'll be all right. One day it's going to be the M3. Amen. Right, babe? I'm just kidding. All right, I'm just kidding. If you got something good from God's word, you can go ahead and give him a great big praise.